Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 through 12. Then we're going to go to Revelation 21, 6 through 8. And to close it off, we're going to go to James chapter 4, and I'm giving you these portions of Scripture, church. I know in this last 6 months, I have given you some of these very same portions of Scriptures, maybe not altogether the way the Lord is wanting you to hear this message about preparing and purifying yourself this morning. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Are you with me? Would you stand for the reading of the Word of the Lord? And we're going to start in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And we're going to begin reading in verse 9. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
Somebody say praise the Lord. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. Church, you want to know why the Lord is focusing you on his blood so much? You want to know why God is directing your attention to his blood so much? Because he desires that you and I will be overcomers. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Somebody say amen. Turn with me now to Revelation chapter 21. And we're going to begin reading in verse 6, 7, and 8. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh, everybody say overcometh, shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Turn with me now to James chapter 4, final portion of Scripture that I want to read to you this morning. We're going to begin in verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Amen. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many of you want to be lifted up by the Lord this morning?
Amen.
We've got the recipe, church. If we'll just follow the recipe, Hallelujah. The Lord will lift us up. Would you pray with me, Heavenly Father, as we come before Your throne again? Oh, today I pray, Lord, that the words, oh, the seeds from Your words of eternal truth, oh, Lord, I pray that they fall upon the fallow grounds of our heart that have been watered by the Spirit, oh, Lord, already. I pray that the Spirit continues to move and to flow in every life, oh, God. I pray that the precious blood of Jesus would continue, oh Lord, to wash over us, oh, washing and purifying and preparing our hearts, oh Lord, for the times in which we live. And we give You the praise and the glory. We're grateful and thankful that we know You, that we're called by Your name. Lord, that You are still on the throne, that You're still at the right hand of the Father this morning, making intercession for us. And we give You the praise and the glory in all things, in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. And everyone shouted amen.
Amen.
Oh, come on, let's shout amen. Let's give him a little, let's give him a little glory and praise before we sit down. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah. Oh, church, I want to preach to you about it's time to prepare and purify our hearts. I've been preaching to you about we're living in the last days, and you know the Bible says that this time would not come upon you unawares, because you are children of the light and children of the day. You're not children of the night or children of darkness. If you were children of darkness and children of the night, you would not be seeing these things that are going on in the world. You would not be alarmed by the things that are going on in the world. You would think it was normal, but because you're a child of the day, because you're a child of the light, you see the darkness that is falling upon the earth and the gross darkness that is falling upon the people, and you realize, hallelujah, that we have promises that are in Christ Jesus this morning. How many of you are grateful that you've got promises in Christ Jesus this morning? But I want to remind you that the promises that He gave is to those who will be the overcomers. Hallelujah. And He said that it would be the fearful and the unbelieving. And what I want to bring to your attention this morning is this fearful and unbelieving, they go together hand in hand. Are you hearing me, church? And if you allow the fear that the enemy would bring into your life, if you allow the fear to come into your life that is unlike God or it is not from God, it will cause you to lose your faith in God, and you will become that class of unbelievers. Are you hearing me this morning? Church, an unbeliever isn't someone who never knew. An unbeliever is someone who once believed and then they became an unbeliever. You have to have been a believer to become an unbeliever. Hallelujah. Just like your shoes had to have been tied before they can become untied. And so these how did they get to be from a believer all the way over to an unbeliever? Because they allowed fear to run and rule and reign in their life. And they begin to lose their faith in God. And they begin to lose their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Are you grateful for Jesus this morning? The promises from Jesus are not to the fearful and to the unbelieving. Hallelujah. It is to the overcomers. And He tells us that we must cast away fear, because it goes hand in hand with unbelieving. And we hear the scriptures and we hear the word of God that says God is not a God of fear. Fear will come about from an unpurified, listen to me, church. Fear will come about from an unpurified heart. Fear comes about from an unprepared heart. It is spirits of bondage that want to get you into bondage again that brings fear into your life. Romans 8:15 gives us that picture of truth. It says, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Hallelujah. Oh, how many of you in your spirit today? Oh, you felt the moving of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You felt the power of the blood of the Lamb flowing and coursing through your life. And it caused your hands to want to raise up and to praise and to magnify the name above all names. Praise God. Oh, but church, while we're on the subject about fear, this is the thing that God began to wake me up. up early this morning and the Lord began to speak to me about the false doctrines that are scattered throughout the church today. In church, we got to recognize that they're seducing spirits and they're bringing about doctrines of devils. You better walk in the way and in the truth and in the lie, which is found in Christ Jesus. You better contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. You better check what you're hearing and measure it up against the Word of God. Hallelujah. Ye which are spiritual, you need to judge all things. You need to weigh it out whether or not it fits with the Word of God. Are you hearing me, church? Oh, church, it's time that we get away from being milquetoast babies and begin to walk and begin to walk in faith and begin to eat the meat of the Word so that we can get stronger. Will somebody say hallelujah? We must prepare our hearts now more than ever. And here now, after I've told you this about fear, I want to recognize this, church. One of the ways that we are going to purify and prepare our hearts is to have the proper fear of the Lord in our life. Are you hearing me? Can somebody say amen? Listen, there's false doctrine going around. I've told you about the song. It's supposed to be a Christian song. Oh, and they do say Jesus in it. But in that song, oh, this young lady singing about the tears in her jeans and the dents in her fenders. Oh, but that she wants to remind you that perfection is her enemy. I'm here to remind you, church, you ought to turn that nonsense off. You ought to turn that garbage off. Perfection is not an enemy of the believer. Perfection is a goal of the believer. I said perfection is a goal of the believer. It is not your enemy. It has never been your enemy. You must strive to press for the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Perfection is not your enemy. And along with that, church, we hear false doctrine that is going throughout the world, in the church world. And if we're not careful, we'll latch on to it because it does appease the flesh. Are you hearing me, church? Oh, but the truth of God will always call out to the deeper things of God. It will always call out to the spirit of the new man, Christ Jesus, that is in you. Hallelujah. It'll desire, it'll cause you to have a desire for more of the truth and of the Word of God. Oh, because it is a sure foundation. Hallelujah. Oh, and the Word, it is the rock. And when the winds and the waves blow, if you're on that sure foundation, your house will stand. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, and so now, in these last days, in the Laodicean church world, we hear that fear is not of God. And they don't even bother to differentiate. They just lump fear into one big box and they say fear is not of God. Well, I'm here to remind you, church, that fear is of God. That there is a fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. And you must have that fear of the Lord if you expect to make it all the way to the end of the road. Are you hearing me? I want to give you some verses, and some of you know these things already, but I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. There are things that we forget that are in the Word of God. And listen, that word fear is used. Oh my goodness, at least fear, fearful, and fearing the Lord is mentioned at least 500 times in the Bible, church. I believe we ought to have the right kind of fear, and that is the fear of God. Hallelujah. When you have the right fear of God, it'll cause all the other fears to go away. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to give you some verses. Psalms 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Psalms 34:11, come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Psalms 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Hallelujah. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Can somebody say hallelujah? How many of you fear the Lord this morning? Oh, listen, church, I
I'm not going to take the false doctrine that's out there that says the fear of God is not of God, because there is a fear that is of God. And the fear of the Lord, church, you and I need now more than ever. Oh, and that there is ungodly fear that will come against you. There is ungodly fear that will try to cause you to get off course from the godly fear that God wants you to have. Amen. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Proverbs 14:26, then the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Hallelujah. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying this morning? If you have the right fear, hallelujah, it causes all those other fears to dissipate and go away. Oh, praise God. Proverbs 15:16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and troubles therewith. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged. And listen to me, church, iniquity is purged. In other words, your heart gets purified when you have the fear of the Lord. Your heart gets prepared for the things that are coming when you have the right fear of the Lord in your life. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Oh, you want to know why the church world in these last days, they've been tolerating too much sin. There's too much going on. It ought not be going on in the house of God. And why is that? Because there's no more fear of the Lord. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Woo! Can somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. And you know what, church? If you look around, you'll see that the church, because the church has failed to do its job in the last days in which we live, the world has become so churchy, and the church has become so worldly. Are you hearing me? And listen, that high idea that fear is not of God has bled off into the other parts of society. It wasn't but a couple of days ago, I saw, how many of you have seen these bumper stickers on these cars, motorcycles, trucks, and it says in really big letters, no fear. Yeah, you know what? Let me tell you what no fear of the Lord does in people's lives. It causes them to do stupid things. Are you hearing me? The same guy that says no fear and he has it on his motorcycle, Brother Johnny, he's the guy that's going 100 miles an hour as he's popping a wheelie down the road and has lost the idea that it just takes one little mistake and he's stepping into eternity. And where and why will his no fear have gotten him? Oh, church, there's got to be the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, and then I saw another one, and it really bothers me. Man wearing a t-shirt, and they're even taking the Word of God, the eternal Word of God, and they're changing it to suit their own needs. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And it's got a skeleton holding the gun. He said, because I'm the baddest man in the valley. Now, wait a minute. That's not what God said. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I've got a fear of God. I've got a fear and a respect and a reverence for my Creator. And because of that, He is with me. And I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and not fear evil.
Hallelujah. Oh, church, you got to have some fear of God if you want no fear. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Don't tell me fear is not of God. So I say, Pastor? Somebody told me once, Pastor? I think that's all Old Testament. Okay, fine. Let's go to the New Testament. Acts 9:31. Can't get more New Church, New Testament than Acts, can you? Hallelujah. Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria
and were edified. You want to know how the early church walked? They walked like we ought to be walking today. Are you hearing me, church? I said they walked like we ought to be walking today. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And that's how they got multiplied.
Churches have gone backwards. They're trying to multiply their numbers by not talking about the fear of the Lord. Trying to multiply their numbers by telling them it don't matter how you live. It don't matter how you talk. It don't matter how you act. It don't matter what you say. All that matters is if you just attend church and proclaim that Jesus is your Savior. I'm here to tell you something, church. Hallelujah. You better be walking in the fear of the Lord. Because only when you're walking in the fear of the Lord will you get the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And then other folks will see what you have. Hallelujah. They'll see that light beginning to shine bright in your life. And in the midst of the storm, when you have no fear and they're full of fear, they'll say, how and where and what do you have? And can I get some of it? Ooh, somebody say hallelujah. Church, there's so many verses that I could go over, but I want to make sure that you understand this morning that the fear of the Lord is what will cause us to purify our hearts. It's not the only thing, but it's one of the things that the Lord wanted me to share with you this morning. And I'll tell you another thing He shared with me last night. He said, you must give them this message about fear because there are things I desire to share with them. There are things I desire that they would know about the times in which you are living and about the things which will soon come upon the face of the earth. He said, but some of them do not know about the fear of God. Some of them do not understand about the fear of the Lord and that they must fear me first and then I can take care of all the other fears. We must prepare and purify our hearts now more than ever. And we got to have the proper fear and the respect of the Lord. In the Hebrew, there's two words I want to share with you. It's Hebrew words. If you're looking in the English, church, you're going to find it in the Old Testament as fear and as fear. But in the Hebrew, it's two separate words. They're very close. They're so closely related. They're almost spelled the same. But recognize that one type of fear is different from the other type of fear. And it has its root in the same place. That's what's hard sometimes to understand. But church, listen to what God wants you to know. The proper fear, the reverence and the godly fear, which is the beginning of wisdom in the Hebrew, is the Yare. Everybody say Yare. Yare is how you pronounce fear. That reverence, that godly fear. Yirah, everybody say Yirah. Sounds similar, doesn't it? But it's not. Even though they have their roots together, they have their roots in the same word. This one means to be exceeding fearful, more than necessary fearful. That's when He says to His people, fear not, for I am with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know, church, that if you're putting God in a proper perspective in your life, and you believe and trust in His Word, when He says, fear not, you will not be exceedingly fearful. Hallelujah. But if you're out of perspective in what fear and how it should be playing its role in your life as a believer, you will become exceeding fearful. And if you're not careful, that will affect your belief and your walk with Jesus Christ. How is that possible, brother? I'm not through yet. Praise the Lord, we're getting there. Now we go to the New Testament. I'm going to pull out some Greek words to you. In the Greek now, it's a little bit more. We've got three words that we've got to work with in the Greek. And one of them for fear or fearfulness is delios. Everybody say delios. Delios means fearfulness or timidness. And the scary part about delios is that delios will lead you to faithlessness. Are you hearing me, church? And when you lose your faith in Jesus Christ, let me ask you, what do you have to put it in then? You go from being a believer to an unbeliever. You go from having the fear of the Lord to having the fear of this world, the fear of the things that are not of God, even though God is orchestrating them all.
As Brother Johnny said, God's still on the throne. Regardless of what's happening, don't be afraid of what's happening. Be afraid of the one who's orchestrating what's happening.
Yeah. Come on, brother. Ooh, somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. There's another Greek word. This one is phobio. Phobio, and that's where we get the word phobia from. Everybody heard of arachnophobia? That's folks who are so scared of spiders, they'll freak out when they see one. Now, I don't know what praying mantises are, but whatever those are, one of my daughters, if she sees one across the room, she goes out of her skin and runs out the other way. It's not an arachnophobia, but it's some kind of phobia, I guarantee you. This kind of phobia, hallelujah, did you realize that there's a good kind of phobia and there's a bad kind of phobia? There's a good kind of fear and there's a bad kind of fear. Paul said to the Hebrews, hallelujah, as he wrote to them in the Hebrews chapter 12, he said, let us therefore fear. Let us therefore, Brother Roy, have a phobia. A phobia of what? I don't want to be left out of the promise of entering into the rest of God that is coming. I'm fearful that I don't make it in. I am so fearful and respectful that I might not make it in. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I'm right with God. And you know what, church? The church world has gotten away from that viewpoint. They just say, all fear is bad and throw it out the window. You need the fear of God in your life. You need the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. That is the opening of the doors of Jesus Christ in your life. If you didn't fear God, then you didn't receive Jesus. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Who's the wisdom of God? Christ, the wisdom of God. How can you get wisdom if it's the beginning of wisdom if you don't have the fear of the Lord? Amen? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let us therefore fear. Let us have this phobia, to be frightened, to be alarmed, to recognize that if we're not careful, we can be deceived, we can be swayed, we can be taken off the path, we can go in the wrong direction, we can let the wrong fears conquer our life, and we've lost the fear of entering into the rest of God. Are you hearing me, church? Phobia, to be frightened, to be alarmed. Oh, hallelujah. Then we get to another verse. Oh, I love this one. It says this. Noah. How many remember Brother Noah? God came to him. I don't know, Brother Roy, if he came to him in a dream or if he came to him, hallelujah, in one of his ways that he manifests himself and began to talk with him one-on-one like the Lord did with Moses before the children of Israel. I don't know how it was. The Bible doesn't give us that definition or that description or that definite, finite description of how he spoke to him. But we do know that God spoke to Noah and he told him what his plan was. Hallelujah. He didn't say, now, I just want you to build an ark. Don't worry about the details. I got that. But build an ark. Noah gave the details. Show him the plans. Drew it out. So this is how you build it. This is why you're building it. And this is what's coming. There's a flood coming upon the face of the earth. And it's going to destroy all of mankind. And only because you found grace in my eyes have I made a way out for you.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, I'll tell you something. Moses could have stood there. Noah could have stood there and become so intent upon the fact that a flood was coming upon the earth that he scared him half to death and he never did anything. But the Bible says Noah moved with what? Moved with fear. He moved with a phobia. God gave me a way out. And if I don't get busy and start building this ark, I'm going to drown like the rest of them. The problem is, church, and this is what the Lord gave me. Ooh, somebody say hallelujah. God said this. Yes, amen. I'm going to get more into that. Praise the Lord. That was from the Lord, Brother Mark. Wrong fear is when we fear more of what's happening than he who is allowing it. Church, it's 2:22 in the morning. I'm not waking up with these quotes in my mind and my own power and strength. Y'all understand this? Then he said this. God said he knew you would face fear. Isn't he such a wonderful Savior?
Amen.
He face fear. So the fear of the Lord must be greater than any fear, or those fears will overwhelm you.
Yes, that's right.
In fact, it's just clear as day. It sounded like Jesus said just like that. In fact, the fear of the Lord will keep all other fears in check.
Yeah.
See, we just need to fear one thing.
Yeah.
We just need to fear one thing, and that is God.
Yeah.
Did not Jesus Himself look at His disciples when they were fearful? And He said, "Fear not, little flock."
Right.
What do you think He meant when He said that? That you would never have fear? No, they had fear. That's why He said, "Fear not. Don't let that fear become exceeding fear in your life. Just fear God, and that will be taken care of." He said, "Fear not." Also, He said, "Fear not those who can harm your body."
Yeah.
But now, wait a minute. Here He turns around and tells them they need to fear. But fear Him who can destroy your body, then cast your soul into hell.
Right. That's it. That's it.
Church, do we need to have fear this morning?
Man.
You bet you need to have some fear. Fear is your friend. Hallelujah. Fear is your holy friend. It's like perfection. Oh, you're being told throughout the world, "Oh, you think you're perfect?" No, but I'm striving to be. It is not my enemy. It is my goal. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And church, the fear of God needs to be your goal. It needs to be your portion in this life. Because if you fear God, all other fears have no power over you.
Amen.
And if you find yourself being fearful about whatever might be happening, recognize that it's the enemy trying to cause that fear to be greater or appear greater than God.
Yes, right.
Just go back to the source of all life and put your fear and faith and trust in Him. And those fears will subside. Somebody say hallelujah. Are you grateful for Jesus this morning? Hallelujah. And then He said this. Church, you know there was a time as pastor that I would have been really cautious to tell you what God tells me. He's given me a holy boldness I've been praying for. And you know what? It don't matter to me what anybody thinks. I'm going to tell it to you anyway. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah. Then He said this. The fear of the Lord will motivate you. Other fear will paralyze you.
Amen.
Oh, but pastor, what about that verse that says perfect love casts out fear? You better recognize what fear it's talking about. Perfect love doesn't come into your life to cast out the fear of the Lord. Perfect love will come into your life and will reinforce the fear of the Lord. It will build up the fear of the Lord. But it will cause all other fears to be cast out. Because if you have the fear of the Lord, you got the fear you need. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say, "Pastor, are you fearful about what's going on?" I say, "Oh yes. I got the fear of the Lord all over me. Hallelujah. I want to walk in His fear. Hallelujah. I want to live in His fear. I want to live in His presence." The prophet that walked into the temple felt the presence of the Lord. He didn't say, "Oh, happy am I. Woo! Look at me, man. I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord." You walk into the presence of God and you've got the fear of God in the right alignment in your life, you're going to say, "Woe is me. For I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Oh, Heavenly Father, would You purify my heart today? Oh, Heavenly Father, would You purify my life today? And He says, hallelujah, maybe an angel with a call from up the altars of heaven with the fire of the Holy Ghost, and He'll burn out some more junk in your life. I don't have no junk. Better wake up. Hallelujah. Perfect love cast out fear. Here we go. This is not phobio. This is phobos. Y'all catch this? I want to make sure you catch these different words. Phobos is another word to describe phobia.
And here it is. It means to have exceeding fear and inactive fear, a paralyzing fear. Do you know what? Fear will motivate you. The fear of the Lord will motivate you to do things in your life you could never do on your own.
Yeah.
Praise God. I'm telling you, fear is such a motivating thing. I went over to help my son Colton, where he's living now. He had been out working for so long, he didn't forget to mow the grass. He just didn't mow the grass. And so he got to where it was not done. It was a hay field, not a yard. So I said, son, I'll get the tractor and I'll go out there. I'll put the shredder on it and we'll get that thing knocked down. And you're going to have to do the weed eater. My shoulders bother me. I can sit on the tractor and do my thing. You do your thing. So he's out there just weed eating around this fence. And unbeknownst to me, he's about to step upon a big ground hornet's nest. So he gets going. And the only thing I see out of the corner of my left eye is this weed eater flying up in the air and Colton cutting across the yard looking like he's running in the Boston Marathon. And he's at the head of the bunch. I had to shut the tractor off and said, son, what got into you? I haven't seen you move that fast in a long time. He said, did you not see all them hornets? I said, that'd be motivating enough, wouldn't it? Amen. He could envision them little stingers coming out and just popping him everywhere. And then, man, he put the afterburners on and that boy moved. The proper fear of the Lord will be motivating you in the day and the time and the age in which we live. It'll motivate you. Hallelujah. Like my wife sometimes says, man, I tell you what, she's quiet as can be, but I'm telling you, and I've told you this before, when she opens her mouth to speak, you better pay attention because it's usually pretty rare. But when she speaks, it's apples of gold and pictures of silver, and you better listen. She'll tell you how quick you need to put your big girl pants on or your big boy pants on and start walking like you know you need to walk. Start acting like you know you need to act. Start believing like you are a believer. Hey, I'm a believer now since Jesus set me free. Hey, I'm a believer now. Hallelujah. Everything's gonna be fine. Hey, I'm a believer now. Well, I can't remember all the rest of it. I'm getting older now. I'm an older believer. Hallelujah. Woo! How many of you want the fear of the Lord in your life? More so now than ever before. Why? Because there's fearful things that are coming upon the face of the earth. It will cause men's hearts to fail them for phobia! Oh, but if you've got the fear of God, that will become as nothing to you. Ooh, hallelujah. So church, how are we going to get ready? How are we going to purify our hearts? We're going to have the fear of the Lord like we need to have the fear of the Lord. Oh, perfect love, yes, it does cast out those phobos. Those exceeding fears, those inactive fears, those fears that cause us to become paralyzed. And while I'm on the subject, there's two other words that are associated with fear. And it is the phobos, it is the paralyzing fear that causes these things in your life to go away. Hallelujah. How many of you know what the word devout means? The word devout and the word pious. I want you to know that's another thing that the enemy has caused the church to walk away from. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me, church? Listen, what's wrong with being devout? Nothing. What's wrong with being pious? Nothing, according to Scripture. But if you would hear tell, some preachers tell it, if we're pious or devout, we think we're somebody. We've done got our head at a 45 degree angle and our nose is up above everybody else's. It's kind of like that perfection thing. It's kind of like that fear thing. Church, you better be looking for perfection in your life. Church, you better have the fear of the Lord. Church, you better be devout unto God and you better be pious for what He's done for you.
Amen.
What do those words mean? Do we even know?
Devout means to be devoted. Anybody here devoted to Jesus? Devout means dedicated. Anybody here dedicated to Jesus? It means to be prayerful. Are we prayerful, church? It means to be holy. Without holiness, no man shall see God. He wouldn't give you the command, be therefore holy, even as I am holy, and your Father which is in heaven is holy. He wouldn't have told you to do it if you couldn't do it. If it was an impossible thing, He wouldn't have asked you to do it. How do you do it? Why don't you start with the fear of the Lord? Then you're going to be striving for perfection. Why don't you start with the fear of the Lord? And then you're going to be striving to be devout. You're going to be striving to be pious. So, Lord, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Holy, 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 I must be in body, soul, and in spirit. Hallelujah. Church, you don't want to be washing the outside of the cup and the inside still full of dead men's bones. You get the inside of the cup clean too. You walk holy, you talk holy, you act holy. And then in your thought life, you make it holy too. In your attitudes, in your spirit, you make that holy too. You be holy, 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 because the Lord your God Almighty is holy, holy, holy. And if you want to see Him someday, you must be holy. Church, how are we going to purify? How are we going to purify? How are we going to prepare our hearts? Oh, Pastor, you just read Revelation. It says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. The devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. Church, I'm going to tell you something. You're about to see things happen on this earth, and I can tell you some things right now that would cause your toenails to curl inside out. But you know what? Until you hear this message, you're not ready for it. Pastor, did you know about this? Yeah, I knew about that. I've already heard from the Lord about that. Well, now what else do you know? I'm not telling you till He tells me to tell you. He knows where you're at. I don't. He knows how to read hearts of men. I can't. But I do know how to listen to the voice of the Lord when He says, prepare them and make sure they have the right fear of the Lord in their life so that when they do hear these things that are coming, they'll know what the fear is and where to put it. And the fear of the Lord will bring them life. When you think you're about to die. And the fear of the Lord will be a clean purging and cleansing when all around you is filthiness. The fear of the Lord will give you sustenance and it will secure you in the day, in the evil day, so you can stand, therefore, in the evil day. Church, there's an evil day coming. He's made a way for you to make it through and be an overcomer. How is that? By the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Are you hearing me, church? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm closing with this. This is a two-part message. I'm going to have to finish the rest of it next week. I don't have time to give it all to you at one time. And I want you to make sure you catch what I've already told you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You have that fear, all other fears will be kept at bay. You keep that fear foremost in your life. You be so concerned and fearful about who God is and what He has done. And I want you to know something, church. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Are you hearing me? You're called by His name. You're washed in His blood. Don't let that be in vain. There's an anger of the Heavenly Father you can't even begin to imagine of those who will trample underfoot the blood of Christ. You take that blood with the most seriousness and you appreciate it with the most adoration. You love it with the greatest love. You have a gratitude of the greatest and highest degree for what Jesus has done for you. Church, that is the beginning of the fear of the Lord. That is the beginning of wisdom in your life. That is the beginning of Him giving you what you need to be able to overcome the fears that are going to come upon the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Yes, failing them for fear. I think it was Brother Johnny a couple weeks ago said it's translated into heart attack.
People having heart attacks. Having heart attacks, looking at things that are coming and beginning to be fearful. Don't you fear those things. Listen, Noah was motivated by fear. Wasn't paralyzed by it. David, do y'all think David walked up there? I don't think little David, shepherd boy, was a little cocky kid. Are you hearing me? I don't believe he walked out on that battlefield, Sister Lynn, with his shoulders reared back and said, "You bring it on."
Yeah.
I don't think he had a t-shirt on and said, "I'm the baddest in the valley." Boy, I walk up to the people, "I'm this stinking giant. I'm a big bad dude, even though I'm little. Dynamite comes in small packages." I don't believe that was David's attitude. But he didn't let the fear of what he saw in front of him paralyze him. He let the fear of what he saw in front of him motivate him, and he began to reach out to the greater fear that he had in his life. And he said, "I am not afraid of your sword." He was calling out what was scaring him in the flesh. "I'm not afraid of your spear. I'm not afraid of your shield. I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts." Because that's my greater fear.
Amen.
And if I keep him in the right place, I don't care what you look like, giant. You're going down.
Yes.
Not because of who I am, but because of who he is.
Yes.
Not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done.
Yes.
Not because of who I think I am, but because of who he is.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Church, I got another 2 hours of this. The Lord's, you get another three, so I'm only giving you an hour of that. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you don't get here next week to catch the rest of this, it's your fault, not mine. Somebody say praise the Lord. How are you going to be an overcomer? By the blood of the Lamb, and by having the fear of the Lord. By having the fear of the Lord, I can promise you, church, he's given you this promise. He said, if you put the fear of the Lord above all else, all those other fears will be kept at bay. No, they're not going to go away. Y'all hear me? They're not going to go away. They'll be kept at bay. They'll be kept under the heel of Jesus Christ. Because if you have fear, not for the thing that's coming, but if you have fear for the one who's allowing it, then your fear is in the proper place. Woo! Hallelujah! Y'all know Jesus this morning?
Yeah.
Oh, church, we've got this confidence, don't we? We have a confidence that is in Christ Jesus. You can't find anywhere else. Hallelujah. Sister Carol, would you come to the piano?
Hallelujah.